Well, welcome to my home. Thought I'd invite you all in this morning. And, of course, I'm here in what we'd call at our house maybe the great room or the living room, the family room, and or, you know, the TV room. I have the power. Whoa, right? But this is usually the first room that people see when they walk into our homes. This is the outward appearance. This is the room that we clean when we're having company. Right? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. But this is kind of the symbol of our outward life, that what we show, what we present, what we show to others, and what we allow them in. This is, even when we show up to church, this is who we show up to be. We have a smile and a greet and a handshake, but we don't come and tell everybody all about the rest of our lives. But this is our family room. This is a place where we gather. This is the most social aspect of our life, and this is what people get first. Then, you know, from family room, you can come over to the breakfast table. And this is, you know, they say 80% of the activity happens right here. That early morning cup of blessing, nectar of heaven. Early morning coffee. This is where conversations take place. Lives are shaped. Character is built. This is the more intimate area of the home in the sense that that's what we show everyone out there, but it's who we really are right here that really counts, isn't it? This is who we are, really probably when no one else is looking. But this is the who you really are as you show up to be your family. You can show everyone else all the other stuff, but it counts right here. But this is where we dine and eat and tell stories and shape each other's lives, and we come in contact with each other. And then, you know, my house, we have a little office, or some of you might call a study, some of it may be a kitchen table, I don't know, but this is the area of information, isn't it? Let the worship begin. Age of information at my fingertips. I can Google anything. I can get to anywhere. But this is the area where we get a lot of data, a lot of information, a lot of input, right? Everything from magazines and those Christmas shopping lists that are coming up. Don't forget that. We have videos. The age of visual learning, right? These things shape our lives. And then, of course, books, 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 more books. Lots of information, lots of data. This is the area of input. This is the area where we keep our important files, important papers. These are the things where we file things, put them away for safekeeping. This is our office. And then our bedroom. Wait, you can't go in there. That's the area of intimacy where you're the most vulnerable, where you really don't know what love is until someone hears you snoring and loves you back anyway, right? That's where you're the most really exposed and most vulnerable to be hurt. But that's an area that's kind of sacred. And then the area, you know, for us guys, it's the shop or the sewing room, ladies, right? Or the work room or the work table, the work area. And we do everything from tinker and hideout. And, you know, then this is the social activity of our life. Anybody been doing this lately? Some of you are still there. And then we have the work area and the little golf area. And this is our social life. This is the workshop. This is the garage. This is the area where we tinker. This is kind of a synopsis, a snapshot, if you will, of our homes, isn't it? Because that's real life. After you leave here, you're going to go home. I imagine there's going to be a few T-spans that are going to use the power today. And depends on how the game goes, whether it's off or on, but you will still have the power at your fingertips, right? You know, and if you do want them to win, the altar is always open. Just a joke. Just don't take it serious. Imagine now, I've shared this a little bit before in kind of a similar way, but imagine now, if this were your heart. Imagine that you open up your home and we say, Invite Christ into your life and make your heart Christ's home. Imagine really as we transpose that into our areas. Imagine your living room. Open up your heart. If your heart is Christ's home, the living room area of your life. What's the first thing others see? What's the first thing you really show others? How do you posture yourself as you come in contact with other people? How do I show up in other people's lives? Then the questions that we've examined would be things like, what does Christ expect of me? What's my social responsibility to those in my community, those around me? How am I to be involved in social ways and communal ways? Philippians chapter 2 reminds us of a couple of things. It calls us into account of our lives. Jeff's going to show it up on the screen, but I'm also going to read it for you. Philippians 2, 1 through 4 says this. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. When it comes to social, when it comes to our living rooms of our heart, sometimes we're so full. But really, the call of a Christian isn't to be self-centered and isn't to have our life be the center of the universe and everyone else to be our satellite. Our call is to consider what others are doing. What are the needs around me? How do I not consider myself first? Philippians goes on to remind us what Jesus did, that He even emptied Himself, even to the point of death on a cross, because He didn't consider Himself first. When, of all people that should have said, hey, everything evolves around me, I'm the center of the universe, you guys are the satellite, He emptied Himself of that centeredness and became less centered, not self-centered. And He caused His whole life to evolve around how to shape us in the image of God the Father, how to make us more like who He was. Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:12, and he says, don't let anyone look down upon you because you're young. And this is good for old and young alike, but Timothy's a young upstart evangelist, a young upstart preacher. And so Paul's kind of, you know, he's the seasoned veteran. He's kind of like saying, hey, rookie, even though you're going to make rookie mistakes, don't worry about that. Don't let anyone look down upon you because you're young. But set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. There's our social rubric. That's the area of how we're supposed to show up. 1 Peter 2:12 says this, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us. But there's a social responsibility as a follower of Christ of how we're supposed to show up. We have a responsibility in life, in love, in deeds and in purity, in speech, of how we show up, because what you say matters. How you act matters. How you portray yourself and as the bride of Christ matters. So now as we see the living room, the social aspect, that entertainment area of our life, as part of Christ's home, that's the place where He wants to dwell. He actually even wants control of the power. He wants to be Lord of that area. And the kitchen, maybe even more important, we talked about this is the shaper of lives area in our hearts. This is that personal, there's the social, but there's the personal, there's the familial. But how we show up to our family matters. Am I who I portray myself to be to others, am I the same way at home? Do my kids yet who I show my adult friends myself to be. That is my wife or my husband or my friends get the real me. And when I come home, are they getting the very best of me or are they getting just the leftovers? How present am I at this table? How engaged am I? How passive am I? How polite am I here on Sunday morning and how angry am I there on Sunday night? To let Christ have our home, as our heart as His home, means that He not only operates in the social, what we show others outside, but who we are privately and personally when no one else is looking. To have integrity is to be who you are, be the same who you are in reality. Integrity comes from the word intag, Latin idea, and intag that means without wrinkle, it's all smooth, it's all perfect, it's all joined together, and there's no seam. It's seamless. How you show up is seamless of who you really are. How am I helping others who are closest to me grow spiritually? How am I showing them who Christ is? Do I offer kindness and grace and forgiveness and compassion to those that I love the very most? Or is that when I let my guard down and go, well, they got to love me. They're married to me. They made vows. My compassion and my forgiveness and my grace is for all the strangers because I want everybody to know I'm a pretty cool guy. She's got to live with me. She said I do. They're my kids. What are they going to do? Imagine if you were more gracious and more loving and more forgiving to your own family than to any other people on the planet. What a different world this would be. Oh, then there's that study area of our life. Oh, by the way, Colossians 3. I didn't read the scripture to that. And I know it's church. It won't count if I don't have the scriptures to it, right? Colossians chapter 3 is a long text, but I want to read it all. It's Paul's instructions about family matters. And he says this. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Note, by the way, he's first saying, have this heavenly mindset. Set your hearts on things above. If we set our hearts at the breakfast table on things above, the family is the most important unit on the planet. Imagine if we start there at the breakfast table, evangelism starts there, not out there somewhere. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now, you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge and the image of its creator. Here there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other. And forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which holds them all together in perfect unity. Now, that's a good recipe for breakfast, isn't it? And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Sounds like church, doesn't it? But he's talking to church, but he's also talking to family. Because here's the very next word. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children or they will become discouraged. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything and do it not only when their eye is on you to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work it at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong, and there is no favoritism. Service of Christ doesn't start at church. Service of Christ doesn't start with social responsibility. Service of Christ says that when you love your wives and you honor your children, and children you honor your parents, and wives you honor your husbands, it all takes place right there in the center room of our heart, where we spend 80% of our time. Whatever you do, we are to be compassionate and kind and generous and gracious and forgiving to those who meet with us right there the most. If we can't get that down, don't bother bringing it to church, because it's not integrous. Rather try it both, by the way. But that's kind of critical, isn't it? You know, then we go over to our little study here where there's the computer. Now, when I say, what do you look at on your computer? I wonder how much conviction can well up inside of us in that moment. What do you read? What's the data you're putting into your brain in the study area? Where are you spending your time? Whether it be playing games, what type of games you play, what things we're putting in, how we're desensitizing ourselves to the cares and hurts of this world. What are we studying? What are we looking at? What are we gazing at? What are we putting in the files in our mind? What are we filtering and what are we putting in and what are we not? What is my input? What do I listen to? What do I look at? What do I read? Who do I chat with? And how do I represent myself as a follower of Christ to those in the world around me on the computer? Isn't it funny? They even have a campaign now about texting, because the campaign is, if you wouldn't say it in person, don't text it, because there's now text and cyberbullying. Because somehow we think in the quiet recesses of our own study, I can sit there and say anything I want in any way I want to anyone whom I want. And somehow I'm exempt from all responsibility of my language, my talk, and the topics in which I engage it. And we forget that it's out there and it represents not only just us and our family, but Christ. Because when you say, I'm a follower of Christ, and you're saying whatever you want to anyone out there in any way you want, you're no longer being a servant of the Lord, because your life doesn't belong to you. Colossians just says, we're buried with Him, we're hidden in Him, we gave our life to Him. I don't have permission sometimes. But because it's on the internet and I can't be face to face with someone, it's fair game to say whatever I want. This is the study where we have so much input. We have so much data and input. There's very little room. We talked about this a couple weeks. There's very little room for any other input. Philippians. Back to chapter 4 says this. Verses 8 and 9. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Paul writes to this church that's struggling with people in opposition and kind of beating up on them, Paul says, hey, keep your brain clean. Whatever you think about, you're going to express somehow. Keep your brain pure. Think on these things, whatever is lovely, whatever is true, whatever is pure, whatever is excellent, whatever is praiseworthy. In our studies, when no one else sees and when no one else is looking, what are we thinking about? What are we texting about? Who are we chatting with? How pure, how excellent, how true, how praiseworthy are we? If you're signing up as a pseudoname, false identity, and somehow you think that exempts you, that's not true. It's not just in cyberspace. It's in Holy Spirit space. Romans 12, 1 and 2 reminds us to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. That's where we get changed. By the way we think. By the way the things we put in matter. That's why Psalm 119, verse 11 says, God's word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Him. Because when you put stuff in, it's going to come out. You pour stuff in a coffee cup. If I pour coffee in this, I'm driving along, sipping on my coffee. I hit a bump and it spills. What's going to spill out? Why? Because that's what I put in there. Because whatever you put in, when life is bumpy, it's going to come out. Bible says in a fancy way, you reap what you sow. The study is where we pour in stuff. In the study of our heart, what are we thinking on? What are we dwelling on? And then there's the bedroom, which is intimate and private, not open to public, but it's personal. It's where I'm most vulnerable, where you're most real, where you're willing to give yourself fully to another. The question there is, will you reveal the heart of God? Will you reveal the heart of Christ? Regardless what the other person will do. Will you show those that are willing to hurt you the most and have the most power of your life, will you still be vulnerable? And will you love them if they don't love you back? Will you be full of compassion and grace and forgiveness regardless? Do I trust Christ is enough for me when we spout off our favorite verses? I can do all things through Christ. What is it? Who gives me strength? Is Christ really enough? When we sing, all of you is more than enough for all of me, is He really? Then you don't need your spouse to come through for you. You don't need them to love you. You don't need them to make you happy. You don't need them to prop you up. Your call is to love them and be an expression of who Christ is to them. And then you know the fullness of what it means to be like Christ. When you love people and they don't love you back. Purely. When you love someone regardless and you give your life to them, then you know the heart of Christ. That's trust. Am I free to give myself to others? That's love life. Not some cheap emotion. Some feeling. And then, you know, not only do we want to invite Christ there, by the way, when you go to that door, that's the one that's usually locked. That's the room of memories and hurts. And sometimes in making Christ's heart our home, that's the one that we still hold the key to. That's the one we feel most vulnerable to, so we just have that one locked. When we go out to the shop, the workroom, sometimes you have to discern what is the real purpose. Is it to tinker or is it to hide? Yeah, I'm meddling, aren't I? Is Christ welcome with me in my hobbies? Do I take him outside when I rake? Do I take him to the golf course? Do I take him to the batting cages? Do I take him to the ball games? Do I represent him well? In the shop, in the work area, the travel ball. Is Jesus Lord in every area, even areas where we say, that's my time. That's my area. Not my wife's, not my kids, that's my sanctuary. Irony, is not Christ welcome in sanctuary? In my area? Am I using my tools, my skills, my talents, my abilities to help and serve others? Ephesians 2:10 says it this way, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which Christ prepared in advance for us to do. So many times, we mentioned this a couple of weeks, we're so full that by the time at the end of the day, Les even mentioned it earlier, I want me time, I want my time, I don't have time for anybody else. This is my gig, this is my thing. But when we say Christ is the ruler of my heart, is He invited into every room, every area, every aspect of our walk? Well, that's the tour of our heart. Is Christ at home in yours? Are there areas in your house that are off limits? Are there areas in your life that Jesus is simply just not invited or locked? No entrance. The welcome mat is not out. Psalm 139 says this, "Search me, O God," verses 23 and 24. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Are you willing this morning to be opened and examined? If I told you today, hey, I want to meet you out in the foyer, and afterwards, I want to come over to your house this evening. And I'm going to bring a bunch of friends, and God is just leading us to pray over every room in your house. We're going to go to every room in your house tonight. 6 o'clock, we'll be there. I'm not taking no for an answer, and somehow you say, okay, even though you may not want me to. What are you going to do right after church? You're not going to go to Boardwalk or Park Place, you're going to pass go and not collect $200. You're going to go straight home and start cleaning, aren't you? Because normally you go, well, I can get the living room clean because that's the social area. But I'm going to go, we're going to go and we're going to go in every room in your house. You're going to go and try to clean every single room, right? Because at that point you realize I got clutter. I got those hidden areas. I got those hidden things. Jesus says it this way. Revelation 3:20. "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me." "Here I am" in the English has an explanation point. Hello? I'm coming in and we're going to come and I'm going to examine every room. If you open the door, I'm coming in and we're even going in the kitchen. That's what the Lord wants to do today. Here I am. I'm here. We profess it as Christians. Where two or three are gathered, we say that all the time. When we gather in the name of the Lord, He's among us, right? He's saying to you this morning, here I am. And I want to come in. And I want to come in and I want the room to every door. I want to come in and I want to be Lord in this social area of your life. And I want to be Lord even here. I want to have kingdom reign here. And here, I want to have breakfast with you. That's what he told Zacchaeus. Hey, I'm coming to your house today. I'm going to eat dinner with you. He's coming and he wants to dine with you. If you open up, I'm here to eat. And he wants to go into the secret places and he wants the key. And he wants your work areas. He wants your play areas. He wants your hobby areas. He wants to be Lord over every area of your heart. There's a problem in my little house picture. You've noticed that I've set it over to the side, and hopefully you all can see it over here, and you get to be closer here. But there's a reason. Because you don't want to notice how everything is kind of crammed together. My home is cramped and it's full of all this stuff. Usually when our homes are cramped and full of all this stuff, we got to do one or two things. We either need to purge and clean house and lighten the load, or we've got to knock down some walls and make it bigger. If this is my heart, sometimes our hearts are so full of junk and busyness and stuff and data, and it's full of clutter. Sometimes our hearts are just too small. There's a video clip I want to show. It's kind of a silly video clip, but it kind of expresses the point. And while they were showing that, I want the worship team to come up. What happened in the video? His heart grew three sizes that day. But you know, that's kind of a good picture if you see that he was in the mountaintop. And sometimes we call those a watershed moment, where if you pour water, so you're going to fall down one side or the other. And sometimes we have to come as believers to watershed moments and decide which way are we going to go. But today I'm saying, if you want to make Christ's heart your home, sometimes you got to get rid of some of the things that have been Lord or idols. Or sometimes you just got to make more room and you got to knock down some walls. You got to make more room. You got to clear some things out. Sometimes you have to invite the Lord to bring a sledgehammer in and say, tear down those walls. Not Mr. Gorbachev, but Lord God Almighty, please. If you want freedom, you got to tear down these walls inside of me. They're big, they're solid, the structures I've built of my own making. Lord God, please come. Tear down those walls. In just a few seconds, I'm going to ask you to come do that. In fact, I want you to stand, if you would, please, as I read a couple of scriptures. There's a verse that's been haunting me lately. It's talking about how Jesus had compassion as he looked over Jerusalem and he wept because his heart was big. And sometimes we are so comfortable in our community that our hearts are not very big. We haven't wept over it much at all. Even when the crowds were hungry, it says Jesus had compassion. He said, give them something to eat. But this is the verse that's been haunting me. It says at the end of time, when the disciples say, hey, what's the end of time going to look like? Jesus responds with this. He says, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. I wonder, is that our love? Is our love cold? You say, well, I love my wife. I love people. I say love that is not expressed is cold love. This is my definition of cold love. A hollow, distant emotion that fades away. Like an ember away from its source of heat, it glows. The fade glows into nothing. The glow fades into nothing, into darkness. But sometimes our hearts are way too small and we need to tear down the walls and open up the doors and give God the key and say, come and give me a bigger heart, because I don't want, at the end of time, my love to grow cold and be small and tiny. Sometimes our hearts are just too small. Ask the Lord today to tear down walls of resistance. Tear down walls of isolation. Tear down walls of protection. Here I am. If you want to invite the Lord this morning to be Lord over every area of your life, if you kept some keys from Him or got some clutter in there you want to get rid of, I want to invite you to come right now during this last few moments to come and say, Lord, make a statement. Sometimes you got to open the door, not just symbolically if you just stand outside the door. Well, the door's open. But really, politeness says you got to go there and say, welcome, come on in. That's what coming to the altar is. Not just sitting there going, well, it's open. You know me. Now you got to get up. You got to go over. You got to open the door. And that's what I want to ask you to do now. consider these rooms. Look at the rooms of your heart and invite Jesus to come and examine them today. I want to pray, and I want to invite you to stay here. I want to invite you, after I get done praying, those who want to leave. I also want to challenge you to think of this. There's nothing that's cool. If the Spirit still moves and talks, is your heart warm? Are you open to the conviction of the Lord to hear what He has to say to us? Are you willing to let Him expand your heart a little? Are you willing to give Him any area that's cluttered and not right before Him? Is the Spirit live and active, moving in your heart today? Let's pray, and please give these people time to just be with the Lord. I want to be able to release you to your worlds and your days, and send you out with blessing. Father God, we want to give our heart to You. We want You to be Lord over every area of our life. Our recreation, our social, our thought, our private, our vulnerable, our intimate. We want to give You the key today. Say, open up any door and look in any room you want and clean out what is not of You, what is not holy, what is not edifying, what is not beneficial. And come and clean house. Because I can't clean it enough and get it ready near enough for a King as holy as You are to come in and inhabit it. I need You to do that work. Only You are kind of the super scrubber. So please, Lord, clean house. Clean every room of my heart, every room of my thought, every aspect and every nook and cranny of my life. Take out the dirty parts. Get rid of the filthy rags. And Lord, please make it clean and whole and brand new again. If there's parts of my life that's too small, please, God, take the sledgehammer and tear down those walls. Expand my heart and make it bigger, and make me have a heart of compassion and love and depth for this hurt and dying world around me, that I might see and I might be aroused to action, not just cold love, but a love that's white hot with passion and compassion for those around me and those in need. Lord, be with these people. Speak to our hearts. Let Your conviction reign supreme in our lives, and be Lord over every area of our heart, I pray. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's continue to worship. God bless you guys.